In our life, there are so many difficulty, challenge we are facing every day, every month, every year. No matter you are new or old or young, there's so many excuses or chance you want to give up, right? Maybe in your school, in your work, in your family, or even in your marriage. It's easy or want to give up. There's a young man called Sanders. When he was age 5, his father passed away. Age 5. So, due to the family situation, financial need, he needed to work. When he was age 10, start his new job, a first job at his age 10. And also because he needed to take care of all the siblings, he needed to quit the school at his grade 6. Quit the school at grade 6. And then at his age 12, his mother remarried. So he soon moved to another stage. So Sander, he's going to take care of himself. He worked so many jobs, tried many jobs, but not quite successful. And at the end, almost after his 40, he has a restaurant beside the highway. It's quite okay, you know, people come and drop by and have pretty good business. But when almost the best time in his life, the government reconstruct the highway. They need to close down the restaurant. So he's nothing. He's nothing when he was almost age 60, almost time to retire. But it's at this moment, at that time period of time, he's nothing. Only a recipe from his experience, how to do a chicken. Recipe to do a chicken. So he only have a recipe to ask so many business or restaurant try to have partnership or franchise to, you know, try this secret recipe. He contact more than 1,000 restaurants or owner, but none of them have interest to try his recipe. Finally, after 1,005 times, one owner or restaurant, he agreed to try this secret chicken recipe and agreed to pay 5 cents when he sell a chicken. So it is the story of KFC. When I review his whole life, almost 60 years old, so many chances, so many excuses, just give up. No, family issue, financial issue, even in his vacation, no job, so many difficulty. Even he has so-called secret chicken recipe. More than 1,000 owner turned him down. 1,000 owner turned him down. So easy to give up. Just give up, right? He tried enough, but he won't give up. He won't give up. Keep trying. So today, you can enjoy his KFC chicken. I love him. I love the chicken. But I also love his spirit. Not give up. Not give up. Not give up. Sometimes in our spiritual life, spiritual journey, there's so many difficulty. Bullying. Or you may think God didn't answer your prayer. So many times you want to give up. Or we want to give up. Today's scripture, I want to encourage all of you. In spite of give up, we can turn our prayer to God. And also trust that God answer your prayer. And then turn your prayer into praise. In today's scripture, you can break down into 4 paragraphs. The first one is the introduction, and also help you to understand his struggle, silence of God, and also attack by the enemy. But interesting, even there's so many difficulty. God was absent. God was silent. There's so many people bullying. It is so many excuses, a reason to give up. Just give up. Come on, God, away from me. And the people are so mean. Just give up. But interesting, at the end of this psalm and his prayer, starting from 22 to 31, he turned his prayer and cry into praise. So we will spend more time at the end of this psalm. Why? What's the turning point? He won't give up. He can turn his prayer into praise. The title of this psalm reminds us it is written by David, for David or of David. And of course, in the New Testament, we find so many scriptures. We call this psalm and find the final fulfillment, ultimate fulfillment is in Jesus' life when he was died on the cross, so many suffering, persecution, fulfilled in Jesus. If Jesus and David have up and down in his spiritual journey, even David, he was king, right? He was facing difficulty. But how can he go through all the difficulty and then turn his cry and need into praise? This is something we can learn from this psalm. I think you know that in the Old Testament, in the psalm, there's no chapter number. All the verse number is added by the modern time. In original setting, there's no chapter 22, verse 1 to 2. There's no number. So the title, the verse 1 is the title. And also highlight the key, the theme of this psalm. My God, my God. And he cried at least 4 times. Why have you forsaken me? Why are you far from saving me? Why are you far from the word of my grooming? Why? 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 It is the introduction and also highlight the key point of the psalm and also one of his key struggles. Why? God, why have you forsaken me? And also, he goes into detail, the second paragraph. One of the struggles is, I believe in God, but why he was silent? Why he was silent? From verse 2 to 5. They find out God didn't answer his prayer. In verse 2, he said, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And pay attention to verse 4. He compared himself to the Father, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. All the spiritual heroes in the history of Israel. Lord, I say a prayer, but you won't answer. But reveal the history when I heard the people's testimony. You answered their prayer. Verse 5, when they cried to you and they received salvation, you answered their prayer instantly or miraculously. But why me? Why? I cry, I pray, you didn't answer me. One of the struggles is divine silence. I don't know how you heard some people share his testimony or her testimony. So many miracles, you know? Job, family, or physical health. When they pray, God saved them. Miraculously. Maybe sometimes you also ask yourself, why I pray, God didn't answer me just like them. Where are you, God? Where are you? Why you keep silent? Answer me. It is one of the struggles of David or the writer. Why? Compared with the people. When I heard people, the testimony, they pray. You answer me. You answer them. I saw the miracle in their life. But why? I'm not following the same path. Why the same? Why? Where are you? From verse 6 to 11. He also cried, I'm not human, because you are away. You are not only not answer my prayer, but I can't see you. I can't feel you. And the people try to mocking me, bullying me, and say, Where's your God? Where's the God? When people step down on your face, bullying, God, where are you? It is the writer's struggle. God, just like he will disappear. From verse 9 to 11, he recalls his whole life. He knows that he believed when he was born, or before he was born, his whole life is in God's hands. So that is his struggle. He knows that from day one, his life is in God's hands. But why, when I'm in struggle, I'm in trouble, when I pray, I can't feel you. I can't feel God, your presence. I can't hear your voice. I can't see your action. God, where are you? I know that from day one, you are my God. I cry to you, I pray to you. But why? Why you're absent? Why you're silent? I'm not sure you have that kind of experience. Sometimes you pray, just like your pastor teach you how to pray, right? Pray every day, but sometimes, or many times, God seems silent. Or more trouble, he seems absent. Absent. David, or the writer, he's quite honest. Just talk to God. God, why? You answer his prayer. Why you answer her prayer? But in my case, I can't feel you. I can't see your action. Why? Why? And then the second paragraph, it's more in trouble, is from verse 12 to 21. The people laugh at him, bullying, mocking. You can see how he's used the language in his prayer, in his psalm. Animals, right? Dogs, lions. Wow. And then 14 to 15, he's using some picture to describe his feeling. His strength was all gone, just like the water. Pour out the water, just like wax, just melt down. His strength was gone. How can he survive when God was absent, when God is silent, and the people surrounding us, him, just bullying, laughing, mocking him. He cannot survive. He cannot keep on. He won't give up. His strength was gone. His heart was down. And then verse 16 to 18, keep using the animal's image. They just like wild dog come and grab everything. I can do nothing. They keep attacking me. Lord. And then 19 to 21. He said, but you, O God, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. He believed only God can help him. All the enemy come, attacking, mocking, laughing, bullying. Keep using the animal's images. But I think one of the turning points is at the end of 21. Verse 21. You have rescued me. I believe when he had that kind of proclamation, believe the enemy is still surrounding him. The time is still tough. The situation is still unbearable. But interesting, verse 21, he changed his tone and his wording. He believed God has answered his prayer. Although the situation is still the same, the enemy is still laughing. Nothing changed. But he believed his prayer, his cry. It's not just go to the empty air. God listened to his prayer, and God already take action. Although the situation just looked like the same, but he believed God has heard his prayer and already take action. Sometimes we pray, but do you believe your prayer has been answered? And this is a very critical point. You pray, although there's nothing happened. You cannot feel God's presence. You cannot see God's action. But do you still believe God has heard your prayer? It is a turning point in this psalm. From his physical eyes, nothing happened. The enemy is still laughing. Nothing changed. And in his heart, he can't feel God. He can't see God take action. But he believe God have heard his prayer. He put his trust in God. Although he can't see, he can't feel, but he trusts God. When we read this paragraph, he mentioned six times, the enemy using animal images. I think it's so tough. It's lion, wild dog, you know, bulls, wow, ox. It's tough. Sometimes when you facing bullying in your school or internet, right? What can you do? Of course, tell your parents. Tell the school teacher, okay? But sometimes they can't help. They can't help, especially in internet. There's so many bullying on the internet. What can you do? Sometimes nobody understands you. Or when you cry, when you complain, nothing happens. Today they will give you some hints. Sometimes turn to God. Turn to God. Even you can't feel, you can't see the solution. God, help me. Help me. As I mentioned, the turning point is verse 20, 21. You have rescued me. He by faith, he believed his prayer has been answered. So at the end of this paragraph, very important, he turned his prayer into praise. He prays by faith, 21, 22 to 31. Praise by faith. From 22 to 23, he keep mentioning, praise the Lord, glorify your name. And 24, he mentioned that, for he has not disobeyed, and also he has not hidden his faith from you. He believed God answered his prayer. So he started to turn his need or cry, disappointed, into praise, because he believed God already answered his prayer. And we take action. When you have time to read the Lord's Prayer, very interesting. At the beginning of the prayer, it mentioned your will, your kingdom be done on earth as it is in heaven. Putting the personal need at the end of the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes it's very important to set the right agenda in a prayer, in your life. Sometimes you think your need is so big, but in the Lord's Prayer, he tells us to focus on God's kingdom. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In this Psalm 22, David starts to praise the Lord because he knows that God knows that his need. It's time to praise. It's time to praise. Not only him, but also invite all the people come to praise with him. In the believer community, he finds strength. When you praise together, remind him who is in charge. Who is in charge? So when one day when you are so disappointed, you want to give up, I encourage you, don't give up the worship. Sometimes you can't see God, you can't feel God, but come back. Come back to church on Sunday. Worship with your brother and sister. Through them, they may help you to see God is still in charge in the worship. Through the sing inspiration, through the word of God, through the prayer. They help you, remind you, God is still in charge. So it's so important, we worship together. Sometimes don't trust your feeling. You can't feel God, you can't see God. But during the worship, the brother and sister help you, remind you, inspire you. Who is in charge? God. God is still in charge. He's still the king in your life, in the church, and also on earth. Pay attention to 27. Not only in the church, people worship God. And by faith, and through the scripture, God told us, one day, the end time, all the people, all the nation, will bow down to worship God. Everyone will acknowledge God, Jesus, is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But from the mission perspective, we know that it is mission impossible. Even in Vancouver, many people, they walk away from the church, they don't want to listen to the gospel, right? But the Bible reminds us, one day, all the people, all the nation, will worship God, will bow down before Jesus. It is impossible from human perspective. But God said, the history will go to His way. God lead the history to fulfill God's will. So one day, it will become true. The promise will become true. So how can we apply this principle into our prayer or spiritual life? You think that your problem is too big, too tough to overcome. Look at the scripture. God said, one day every nation, every people will bow down before Jesus. It will become true. Not by human, but by God's power. God will turn the history into His way. If you believe that, God's will, God's power, God's kingdom will become reality. We can start to praise God today. Even you can't see God, you cannot feel God. But through the scripture, through His promise, nothing is impossible to God. If you believe that, one day all the nation, everyone will bow down before Jesus. It is impossible. Only by God's power and will, it will be done. So today, don't trust your feeling. Start to trust God's promise. Start praising God. Because nothing is impossible for God. Even the mission impossible, right? But God will make it done. All family, all people, all nation, they will acknowledge Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So look at your problem, your situation. Do you believe that God can save you? God can save you? And verse 28 to 30, it keep mentioning the same idea. The kingship belongs to the Lord. He rules over the nation. One day, everyone will bow down before Him. The people right now, or the future, the coming generation, they will acknowledge God is King. So, what do you fear? What do you fear? Even the unborn people are still in God's plan. The future belongs to God in His hand. And the last verse in this psalm is that He has done it. He has done. And Jesus recalled this sentence in New Testament. In translated, it is finished. It is finished. He has been done. He has done it. He has done it. God is still in charge. Why David can praise the Lord? Even he can't see God, he can't feel God. Because he trusts not his feeling, but God's promise. He believes nothing is impossible to God. Even at the end time, all nations, all people will bow down before Jesus. It is mission impossible. We believe it will come true. If you really believe in it, start to praise the God. Even we can't see, we can't feel, the situation change instantly. I think there's a key point we can learn from this psalm. We can be honest. Talk to God. God, I can't feel you. I can't see you. Why you answer the prayer in his family? Answer his prayer, her prayer, but not me. Be honest. Talk to God. He's okay. Just like this psalm. He cried out, Lord, God, where are you? Where are you? But not just ending by complaining, but he start praising because he still believe God answer the prayer. Answer prayer. Nothing is impossible. If he can do the mission and also everyone will bow down before him, come on, where's my problem? He can handle it. He can save me. He can carry me on. When I'm taking sabbatical leave from May to August, I will go to Cambodia. But why go to Cambodia? Maybe you have heard the history of Cambodia. It's called a Holocaust. Almost 1/4 of the people was executed. Die. Suffering. Just in 4 years. So many family, people's life was just destroyed. It became a big hurt to all the people in this country. Today, almost half of the population are under age 18. They're so young, under 18, half of population. So what can we do? How can we save them? After they go through that kind of terrible suffering, who can help them? Who can help them? And in this country, only 2% are Christian. Only 2% are Christian. 98%, they don't know Jesus. Nobody shared the gospel to them. Only 2% are Christian. As I mentioned, I think I mentioned last year, right now in the mission field or mission strategy, we talk about not only 10-40 window, we talk about 4-14 window. 4-14 window. From age 4 to 14, it is a very important age. We can share the gospel to them and equip them so the country had the hope and future. So in my sabbatical leave, I will go to this country to help the people from age 4 to 14. 4-14 window. I believe the gospel will change their life. And not only their family, but the whole country will have hope. Just like the psalm we read this morning. Although they're suffering, they can't see God. They can't feel God. They complain to God even. But I believe the gospel will transform their life. Gospel will heal their life. Will heal this country. Will heal the family. Oh, sorry, how come a deep fire spider? I may try it, but sorry. Mostly, I spend my time in three locations, from the left-hand side to the right-hand side. Of course, in the middle is the capital city. There's so many churches already serving there. So I spend most of the time on the western part and the eastern part, the remote area. You saw the picture of the on the western part of the map. It's a very remote area. There's so many landmines in this area. But a few years ago, a kindergarten student in Hong Kong, they see their need. They collect the money to buy land to help the village people to build a school. So it's a very beautiful school. The whole piece of land only costs $3,000, US dollar. $3,000 US dollar. So all the many primary school students, they take out from their pocket money. I think they're rich, right? From their pocket money, $3,000 US dollar, they buy the piece of land and build a school for the village school for the village in this area. So I go to help this school and also build a church in this area. But there's still a lot of landmine in this area. So many people was hurt, were killed, so much suffering. and there's no hope. But I believe the church will bring hope to this area. Most of the church or Christian or missionary, they go to the pie or the capital city, but not in this remote area. They need help. I will go and help them. If you like to want to go with me next time, talk to me. Talk to me. They so love these students. They need help. They need help. Someone share the gospel with them. Or go to them, teaching them. Teaching them some knowledge. Change their life. And I tell you, there are only 2% Christian in this country. Most of them they worship idols. So if you build up the good school, Christian school, and church, it will make a big impact to the surrounding area. They will look, what's a Christian? What did they do? And then I will spend some time in the capital city and also visit our supporting missionary and also school and also a youth center to help them. This is a youth center they just start up a few years ago. I think last year, it should be last year. It's quite new. It should be last year. So come to help the children and also to help the teacher. Why we go to Cambodia? Because not only us, there's so many people from other religions want to make impact to this country. So let me show you, show you any picture. I also spend many time on the eastern part of this country. They live by many majority group, and many of them, they worship evil spirit, just beside the Vietnam. Even the local pastor, they fear go to this area. They worship idol, worship the evil spirit. The eastern part, on the right hand side. So the right hand side. That's the part I will serve. There's no power, no water. So if you would like to go with me, welcome next time, okay? But it's tough. Even the local pastor do not want to serving in this area. But they need gospel. They need gospel. This is the place I will live with the local people. In future planning, they want to build a church and build a school to help the children. You see, they're so lovely, right? Come, pray for me, and also, if you like, go with me next time to help them to understand Jesus, to receive the gospel. I believe when they turn away from the idol, turn to Jesus, there's a hope, there's a life, there's a healing. As I mentioned to you, there's so many religious groups come to help or influence them. You can see this very beautiful kindergarten in the capital city. Do you know who built this kindergarten? Do you want to guess? Who built this beautiful kindergarten in the capital city? Of course, not a Christian. Yes. Muslim. The Muslims, they build a very beautiful kindergarten in the capital city. And more than that, there's a Muslim mosque in the capital city. They invest a lot of money, manpower. Not only Muslim, you can see the Muslim on the street, not only Muslim, but also Buddhism and Mormonism. Everyone seeing the chance to build the temple or the group in Cambodia. They know that the people, after so many suffering in the past years, there's empty in their heart. There's no hope. There's no love. So Muslim, Buddhism, Mormonism, they invest a lot of money, people in Cambodia to help the people. So my question is, where is the Christian? Where is the Christian? What can we do? I hope that when I go to serve among them, when I come back and share their need among all of you, and hope that one day you can join in to help the people, to help this country. Just as this scripture we studied this morning. Sometimes, you know, in their life, they're suffering. We can't see God, we can't feel God. But by faith, we believe God will do His will. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the reason we keep doing mission ministry. Although, you know, our church or even myself, we don't have enough power. We don't have enough power to do anything. Nothing can change the situation. But we believe God can make a change. We can start to pray, and we believe God answered the prayer. So at the end of my message, I would like to invite the mission committee to pray for me and also pray for my family. After my short-term mission trip to Cambodia, I will bring my wife and my children to China to do the short-term mission together. And also in November, and Phil and my family will also share my experience, how to go to short-term mission trip as a family. So exciting, right? Together to experiencing God. I believe, you know, it's exciting. And also when we share the gospel together, we can see how wonderful of God's gospel will change people's life. Not only the people's life, but also change our life. When we do God's will and share the gospel. Okay, maybe our mission committee and my family, please come in. Feel how we lead up. We say a prayer for us. Thank you. Mission committee and my family, please come in.
So we're going to have the mission committee members come forward to pray. Actually, also, if there's deacon members that are here with us, that are able to come up, why don't you join us up here as well? We're going to pray for Pastor Reverend Law and his family for the mission, as well as for his sabbatical leave. He's been serving so faithfully with us for the past several years, and we are just so thankful to have this chance to pray for you and for you to have the sabbatical leave. Would you all stand with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you, Lord, and we thank you for the goodness that you have shown us, Lord God. And we thank you for Reverend Law and his family, Keely and Naomi and Noah. We thank you, Lord, that you have planted them here within our midst, within our family, Pacific Grace. We thank you for their leadership. We thank you for how they have blessed us and glorified your name by serving, Lord, so faithfully. We thank you for their heart, Lord. We thank you how Reverend Law leads, Lord God, by example. We thank you for this mission trip that he's going on. And we can see, Lord God, your spirit working within him. We can see, Lord God, how he loves you and longs to carry your love to those that need you. And so we thank you for all that he is and all his blessing to us and to those that he ministers to. And we pray now, Lord God, for his sabbatical leave and for the family. We thank you, Lord God, that after a number of years of serving so faithfully and diligently, we thank you, Lord God, for all the sacrifices that have been made, Lord, that you have seen. And we thank you that he and his family now can take this time away to have a sabbatical leave. And we pray in the name of Jesus that during this time, you would refresh them, that you would fill them anew, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that during this time, you would help them to know the stillness of you and that you are God. We pray, Lord God, during the sabbatical leave, during this time, that you would speak new meaning into a new vision into his heart. Lord, that you would expand his vision and his heart to see you in a greater way. And we pray that you would fill them, the family, Lord. Bless their family during this time. May they reconnect. We pray for their marriage. We pray for Keely, and we pray for Noah and Naomi as well. Lord, would you bless each one of them in this family? Lord, would you work in them? Would you renew them? Would you refresh them, Lord God? And we pray, Lord God, as they go on this mission trip, Lord, to Cambodia and to China, Lord, we pray that you would anoint them with your Spirit, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, would you pour out your Spirit into their lives and into their heart, Lord God. May they know your power and your presence wherever they go. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray that you would soften the hearts before them. Go before them, Lord, and follow them as they go on their mission trip. Lord God, we pray for those that need you. Soften their hearts in Cambodia, in China. Prepare their hearts, Lord, to receive, to hear, and to accept, Lord God, your goodness, your love, your mercy, your unfailing love. We pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would fill them. And Lord, as they go, whoever they encounter, whoever they come in contact with, may others see and know the love of Jesus Christ shining through Reverend Law and Keeley and Naomi and Noah. Lord, do a great work. And where they go, Lord God, may the blind see. Lord, may you set captives free. Lord, may you lift burdens, Lord, for the suffering, Lord God. May they know your love and mercy. May lives be transformed. May whole families, may communities, Lord, be touched by your message and your love. Father, we thank you and we pray, Lord, that you would help us as a church family to keep them in our prayers, to lift them up from here in Vancouver and in Canada, and to be faithful, Lord, to empower them through our prayers, and that, Lord God, you would do a great work. And Father, we just pray all these things, and we lift them all up unto you, and we pray, Lord, that you would cause your face to shine upon them. Shine upon them with your favor during this time, and bless them as a family. And we pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.